Anthony Blinken, war with Lebanon and Israel is imminent. I repeat, war with Lebanon and Israel is imminent. It seems that Israel has every intention of invading Lebanon and attempting to push Hezbollah back to a river that is 40 kilometers into the southern part of that country. Now, you might be asking yourself, what the hell could this possibly have to do with us here in the West, especially out here in North America, where we are insulated by two very large bodies of water? And I would encourage you to look at anything in your home, and you'll discover quickly that it likely wasn't made in this country. And that is because we live in a global commodities exchange, meaning that if there is geopolitical turmoil in one part of the world, it is likely going to repercuss to other parts of the world and have a financial impact in the form of skyrocketing oil prices, which of course will skyrocket inflation even further. That is the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that Israel is forced to resort to the Samson option because facing the near peer adversary that many people believe Hezbollah to be, it's likely they're not going to be able to sustain that level of attrition depending on how involved Iran gets. And of course, invariably, that brings the United States into the conflict. If the United States and Israel cannot resolve this problem using conventional weapons, there is a very good chance that Israel will have to resort to the use of tactical nuclear weapons, used quite possibly subterranean, to target the rather extensive network of bunkers and tunnels that are far more sophisticated than the ones that they face and are currently still facing in the Gaza Strip. This, of course, will have the effect of bringing Iran, bringing Russia and China into the conflict because, of course, China is dependent on Iranian oil to a large extent, as well as Russian. So this is why the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower Strike Carrier Group, according to a U.S. defense official, is being redeployed to the Eastern Mediterranean. So the middle of the road prognostication is that the U.S. gets involved in another major war, which ultimately spills over into Iran. The worst case scenario, of course, is that Israel is forced to utilize the Samson option because they have their missile defense systems overwhelmed. You start to see a massive egress out of the country, and their very small and fragile economy, which is unfortunately being compromised by the fact that you have a lot of reservists who were performing vital roles in their economy, now being forced into militarization, taking them away from those occupations. This is going to have a devastating economic impact. And even Shaul Goldstein, the CEO of Noga Energy, the independent system operator for the Israeli energy grid, has stated today that after 72 hours without electricity in Israel, it will be impossible to live here. We are in a bad situation and we are not ready for a real war. It is no surprise then that there are rumors of panic buying yet again. Now, this began a long time ago because, of course, rumors of wars in the northern direction have been rumbling for quite some time now. In fact, many of us are surprised it hasn't started already, when, of course, unofficially it has, because what's been happening between Hezbollah and Israel can only be called a war. It just hasn't went into any sort of big arrow offensive maneuvers just yet, but it appears as though that is about to happen. Lebanon has even threatened Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. They claim that the Americans, yes, the Americans and the Israelis are flying sorties from there, and that that island will not be immune from attacks. In response to this, Cyprus has suspended issuances of visas from Lebanon. And the Canadian government is now reiterating that Canadians should refrain from traveling to Iran and that those who are currently there should return. Now, this, of course, 24 hours after deeming the IRGC to be a terrorist organization. So we're seeing level 4 travel advisory. I don't think we use that system here. But it is very similar to what the State Department uses. Level 4 travel advisory for Iran from Canada and the United States. Lebanon, not quite yet a level 4 travel advisory, but this square is likely to change to red very, very soon. You have the Dwight D. Eisenhower heading there, likely going to be performing defensive duties. This, of course, is going to take even more attention away from the Red Sea, giving the Houthis free rein, who appear to be completely unstoppable at this point in time. I mean, you would think that we would have put a dent in their capabilities, but they are completely implacable, it seems. However, their setup is in the mountain ranges of Yemen. It seems to be very formidable, and it's very difficult to even put a dent. So I can't see how we're going to deal with the subterranean nightmare that likely awaits Israel in southern Lebanon. So things are about to get really, really crazy, and that is just one front. But remember, each one of these nodes in the network are connected. If something breaks in the Middle East, it is going to create and exacerbate the problems everywhere else. Israel is currently also relocating 45,000 children away from the northern part of Israel due to concerns of war. Apparently, summer camp is a big deal in that country. So, North Korea, right now, of course, Vladimir Putin has now went to Vietnam, concluding his trip with Kim Jong-un, as you could see them in the vehicle there, gallivanting, signing a strategic military partnership, essentially the equivalent of a NATO Article 5. If one of the countries is attacked, the other agrees to come to its aid. Now, what exactly is that going to mean? Nobody knows. North Korea is a nuclear-armed nation. Estimates are that they have up to 90 nuclear weapons now, okay? 90 already. Now, with the help of the Russians, they're going to have the ability to put that on some sort of Sarmat missile equivalent that is going to be impenetrable by U.S. defenses. And what that means is that the potential for it just gives North Korea a lot more leverage. That's not stopping the U.S. from moving more nuclear bombers closer to that front. In fact, a group of B-1B Lancer nuclear bombers has been sent to Guam base in the Western Pacific Ocean in response to this. Now, there's been a lot of stuff happening in the Philippines as well. In fact, they're looking at Article 5, the bilateral agreement that the United States has with the Philippines. They're looking at invoking that. According to U.S. officials, U.S. Indo-Pacific Command has drafted options in case the events happening at the Sierra Madre escalate or if the Philippines invoke Article 5 of the Mutual Defense Treaty. So they're getting ready to potentially not only to go to war with China over Taiwan, but also in the Philippines, on the Korean Peninsula, possibly Japan and beyond into the Pacific. So everything is getting wildly out of control. The demarcation between East and West is getting more solidified by the minute. By the minute, Putin has threatened South Korea. He's basically said that if you supply weapons to the Ukrainians, you're not going to like the answer that we have. Now, it's hard to take him or Nasrallah seriously because everybody excuses it as strategic forbearance, but it starts to just look like they're all talk, and I'm not saying they are. You never want to assume that the guy with 5,000 nuclear weapons that you have no means of defense against is just bluffing and all talk, because of course the moment that he talks, we're all probably dead, or at least the people who haven't been prepping for this eventuality and who aren't in the wrong place at the wrong time. Lindsey Graham and Senator Blumenthal picked a great time to rock the mic once again. Lindsey Graham is held a press conference today and are proposing a bill to designate Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism. Now, if they do that, That is going to offer no quarter for the Russian ambassador, and they're already having problems getting visas approved. The Russian envoys and diplomats are having a very difficult time with the Americans and the State Department. So this is going to essentially break all communications between the countries, direct communications between the countries, if this bill is actually passed. Now, I don't know how much support it is going to have moving forward, but of course, it would be a major deterioration of diplomatic relations between the two countries that have the most nuclear weapons. According to Vladimir Putin in a press conference today, he said that we are aware that our potential adversaries are working on elements that will reduce the threshold for using nuclear weapons. Interesting statement. We are aware that our potential adversaries are working on elements that will reduce the threshold for using nuclear weapons. Interesting. That's why we're stating that it is possible to introduce changes to our nuclear strategy. As for the preemptive strike, we don't need it because if we respond, our enemies will be destroyed. Now, listen to what he said there. He basically admitted that they're not talking about a preemptive strike here, per se. They're not talking about altering their nuclear doctrine to allow for a first strike or a first use of weapons. It seems that he's suggesting that something else is going to be at play. And what I think it is something to do with the allowance of the use of tactical low-yield nuclear weapons under certain conditions that don't necessarily entail the imminent existential threat to the Russian Federation, which of course is number one in their nuclear doctrine. They will only use nuclear weapons when they feel that the existence of Russia is threatened. Now, that's very ambiguous because, of course, if you're taking out Russia's nuclear radars, that in and of itself could be construed as something that will contribute to their demise down the road. So, you know, how they describe and define exactly where those boundaries are is completely ambiguous. But this is a very interesting statement by Vladimir Putin. And if you haven't really been paying attention yet, I know it's easy to kind of lose perspective of how far we have fallen here with this. But there was a time when Vladimir Putin, even when people were claiming that he was threatening nuclear weapons, never even used the word nuclear. Now it's happening on a regular basis. It seems like every day he's mentioning the use of nuclear weapons. Mike Turner has warned of a Cuban missile crisis in space. House Intelligence Chair has blasted the White House over Russia's space nuclear threat. Remember this? Well, it's apparently still an issue. Of course it is, right? He's ripping into the Biden administration for not being more transparent about intelligence on Russia's purported development of a space-based nuclear weapon. Now, the White House says that, don't worry, they haven't created it yet. And of course, the Russians are firing back and saying, no, it's actually you who is creating these space-based nuclear weapons. And I'm suspecting if we are, maybe SpaceX has something to do with that. I mean, what is this mad dash to go to Mars? We haven't even went to the moon. All of a sudden, this fantasy about going to Mars for no apparent reason other than to become a multi-planetary species, I don't think so. Usually, it's about militarization, in this case, the militarization of space. The congressman raised the specter of Russia detonating a nuclear weapon in space as a potential day zero event. I've been saying day zero event. I wonder if he's been watching my videos. I mean, I know that zero day and it's a common thing, but I never really heard it used in relation to this. Maybe it has. Maybe that's, what do they call it, cryptomnesia, where you think you created an idea, but you actually heard it somewhere else and you thought you discovered it, but you didn't. You're biting somebody else's rhymes. Who knows? But he basically said it could bring the end of the space age and it would destroy and black out pretty much every satellite on that side of the planet. The administration was willing to come forward and say that Russia is developing anti-satellite nuclear weapons, and they've confirmed this. This is not speculative, he says. So we got nuclear conflicts pending in space, in cyberspace, okay? The Samson option, just nuke, 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 nuke. And the U.S. has confirmed that it's going to be sending all Patriot missile defense systems to Ukraine. So any country that had a order in over the next 16 months, they are going to be put on back order, and they're going to be sending all of those to Ukraine. So Poland, Germany, Switzerland, and Spain are going to have to wait a little bit. Fortunately, it's not World War III yet. This means that there's going to be a lot more Ukrainian cannon fodder before this thing has run its course. Russians, it should also be noted, do suspect that NATO is planning an attack. Remember the F-35s, the nuclear-capable F-35s, being tucked away in bunkers, all the military Schengen corridors being planned throughout Europe, the very surreptitious war mobilization happening, the rollout of conscription in multiple countries. If you're the Russians right now, you're probably suspecting that these guys are up to something. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying that's what they think. And in war, you must think how your adversary thinks. Vladimir Putin also had this to say today. They, the West, say that they want to achieve the strategic defeat of Russia on the battlefield. What does this mean for Russia? He says, for Russia, this means the end of its statehood. This means the end of a 1,000-year history of the Russian state. I think this is clear to everyone. And the question arises, why should we be afraid? Isn't it better for us to go to the end? This is elementary formal logic. Basically, he's saying, scorched earth, Operation Dead Hand. If you go, everybody goes. If we die, everybody dies. And of course, just to reiterate, Jake Sullivan the other day has said that Ukraine can hit inside Russia anywhere its forces attack from across the border. They got a green light on Moscow. Guys, it's going to be a hot, hot summer. There's now a Scandinavian NATO transport corridor that is being expedited. Norway, Sweden, and Finland have agreed to create a military transport corridor that will run through the north of each of the three countries. Norway's prime minister announced today this agreement is an important stage for the three countries. And Mark Rutte, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that properly, the primary F-16 proponent, and I believe one of the first countries to send F-16s to Ukraine, which any minute now you're going to hear about them in the combat zone. He is now going to be the next Secretary General of NATO, and he's also been referred to, I believe, as the Trump Whisperer. So they think that he is going to be able to sway Trump's, I think it's just bluster. He was on the All In podcast today saying that he thought that NATO encroachment is what provoked the conflict in Russia, and of course he is 100% correct about that. But remember, politicians will say any and everything to get elected. And once they bring them into the scary back room, you can bet, you can be certain that he is going to play whatever sort of game. And here's the thing. It may well have been the case that a guy like Trump would have prevented the conflict from ever getting to this point. But when you put a dangerous situation like this in a person's like that's lap, if we even really believe that he is beyond the deep state's clutches, then it's almost more dangerous because, of course, now you have a situation where it's much more volatile. Maybe in a situation where it's less volatile, that sort of a style of governance would be more preventative. But I question how effective it is going to be in a situation where it's already volatile. And remember what Vladimir Putin said. He said no matter who they put up there, it's not going to change foreign policy of the United States. And I got to take his word for it, okay? Just because, I mean, if it's not like he's saying, yay, go Trump. If he was, you know, then maybe I would say, okay, maybe there's a prospect for peace here. He's not saying that, all right? Shipping container rates have nearly quadrupled in the last few months. I mean, it is an insane. We're almost to the level of COVID peak in terms of the shipping container freight rates. So you have all of these things, inflationary pressures. The only thing keeping inflation down at this point in time is the phony baloney stock market that continues to mask the real inflation, the whatever globalization is still in place and hasn't been nullified by the trade war, and the relatively lower oil prices. Once that goes, it's game over. And if you're holding NVIDIA right now, there's been a lot of insider trading. Day after day, I'm hearing that people who bought in at a very low price are getting out. And now you have all the dumb retail money filing in. This is the FOMO phase. It's going to crash. It is going to crash, okay? According to investor sentiment on the stock market at S&P 500, right when consumer confidence reaches a certain level, I can show you the graph here. I'm not sure if you can see that. Okay, so here we are, right here. Okay, and so what happens after you reach one of those peaks? You can see the S&P 500 is continued to go up. Well, what happens is that you get a crash. All right, so we're at that peak of consumer confidence, and the smart money is liquidating right now. I can't show you the graph today. We will show it tomorrow. But there's a graph here that shows that the smart money, the long holders, are selling out of these big stocks. So guys, I would encourage you, keep on prepping, man. Stacking it to the rafters. Because we're entering a period where things can just spiral out of control. We're not entering, we've been in a period for a long time where things could easily spiral out of control very rapidly. And I do suspect that any hour now, the war between Lebanon and Israel is going to start. It's probably not going to be referred to as such. It will be diminished in terms of how it's presented. It will be branded as a small scale and limited exchange, but the reality is it will be the beginning of something much, much bigger, and that could be the Black Swan event that causes the beginning of the precipitous collapse of the global financial system, as well as many other things. I heard today that the pilgrimage to Mecca, or I'm not a Muslim, so I don't know, but hundreds of people have been dying because the temperatures are north of 50 degrees Celsius, okay? Now, where I am, we happen to live in the one polar vortices pocket of the planet that is not seeing record temperatures. So, and it's good because, of course, I just moved to a new acreage, and last year I was very worried about getting any land here at all because we are seeing insane drought throughout the entire western part of Canada. We have been fortunate that a lot of those water levels have been replenished by a very unusual amount of rain. Again, we are the anomaly on the planet right now. Everywhere else that's population dense is experiencing higher than average temperatures, but we're going to take what we can get. So keep on prepping, my friends. We got a lot of excellent content coming your way. I hope you're taking this preparedness stuff seriously and not just amusing yourselves to death. Please, when it finally goes down, every ounce of labor that you've contributed to becoming a more well-rounded, self-reliant individual is going to pay dividends when the shit hits the fan. Thanks for watching, my friends. Stay safe, take care, keep on grinding.